So if you put a 10-year-old and a 17-year-old in the exact same room and, try to correct severe behavioral issues using the same therapeutic tools, you're going to fail spectacularly.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the psychological architecture of a preteen versus an older adolescent, it just requires entirely different scaffolding, especially when they are interfacing with the juvenile justice system.
Right. And today we were taking a deep dive into this really fascinating set of diversion programs that we found outlined in a recent juvenile justice brochure.
Yeah, and what I love about this source is that we're kind of bypassing that standard crime and punishment debate entirely.
Exactly. We're looking at the actual mechanics of how these programs rehabilitate at-risk youth. The through line here is really about how the therapy evolves as the developing brain evolves.
Right. It's a very targeted, age-appropriate progression. The whole goal is to build psychological resilience rather than just, dispensing punitive measures.
So starting with the youngest demographic, the 10 to 12-year-olds, the intervention here leans really heavily on play therapy and narrative therapy.
Yeah, like the IME program, which uses clay and painting.
Right. And the Stop to Start anti-substance abuse program, too. The entire goal here is to externalize the problem. It is basically like taking the monster out from under the bed and putting it right on the table.
That is a great way to put it.
You give the child a chance to look at the issue objectively, right? So they don't internalize the belief that, well, that they are the monster.
Exactly. And that physical externalization is crucial because children at this developmental stage, they often lack the complex vocabulary to articulate trauma.
Sure, they can't just sit on a couch and explain their cognitive dissonance.
Right. So when you use a physical medium or construct a distinct narrative where the behavioral issue is a separate entity entirely, you kind of bypass their limited verbal processing. They can battle the monster instead of battling their own self-worth.
That makes so much sense. But, I mean, that externalization tactic has the shelf life, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. As these kids hit 13 or 14, the psychological landscape completely shifts.
Because a teenager knows they aren't fighting a literal monster.
Exactly. Which is where the pivot to cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, comes in. Programs like Wake Up Call and In the Mirror.
We all know the basics of CBT, sure, but applying it to an older teen in the justice system? I mean, that means aggressively confronting maladaptive behaviors in real time.
Yeah, rather than just processing muddled feelings, adolescents have developed the higher cognitive function required for genuine introspection.
So the therapeutic mechanism shifts from expressing the feeling to intercepting the thought.
Right. We are asking them to recognize the specific cognitive distortions that lead to risky behavior and, well, manually rewire those pathways before they actually act.
Now, the brochure also pairs this cognitive restructuring with restorative justice models, like the Reverse Your Thinking program, which, frankly, sounds incredibly intense.
It is a lot, yeah.
Like, we are talking about having an offending teenager sit across the table from their victim to mediate directly. Taking a volatile teen and putting them face to face with the person they harmed just seems like a recipe for a secondary crisis.
I get that, but it forces a confrontation with reality that the traditional court system actually shields them from.
Wait, really? How so?
Well, the underlying theory of justice operating here defines crime as an offense against a human being. Not just some abstract violation of state law, direct dialogue strips away the anonymity of the system.
Oh, wow. I see.
Yeah, the data shows the specific friction facing the actual human impact of their actions, it yields significantly higher rates of offender accountability.
Higher than just standing silently next to a defense attorney, I bet.
Way higher, yes. It also leads to much better victim satisfaction.
But the ultimate stress test for any of this is what happens when the session ends, right? A teenager can mediate perfectly or master their CBT exercises in a controlled room, but.
Returning to the environment that triggered the behavior in the first place, where the relapse happens.
Exactly. Which brings us to the aftercare phase. Programs like Mind the Gap and Planting Hope.
Right, and Planting Hope utilizes mutual aid theory. You transition the teenager from being the recipient of therapy to being the distributor.
Wait, so they essentially become therapists for their peers?
Basically, yeah. They use their own recent raw experiences navigating the justice system to pull the next kid up.
That is wild.
It relies on the empirically validated helper therapy principle. The act of guiding a peer actually reinforces the helper's own newly acquired cognitive skills.
Oh, so helping someone else helps the helper.
Precisely. Plus, think about it. A teenager is far more likely to absorb a harsh truth or a behavioral correction from someone who has actually walked in their shoes.
Right, rather than some adult authority figure they view with inherent suspicion.
Exactly. It replaces a top-down hierarchy with horizontal accountability. It's a comprehensive rehabilitative safety net.
We've traced a pretty incredible psychological arc here today. You start by separating the child from the problem using play, escalate to rigorous cognitive accountability for teens, and finally lock those skills in through peer-to-peer mutual aid.
It really is a fascinating approach to systemic change.
So here's a thought for you to chew on after you finish listening. If restorative mediation and peer-based mutual aid can successfully resolve severe conflicts and repair harm within the juvenile justice system, how might applying those exact same principles transform the everyday conflicts happening right now in your own workplace or community? Maybe it's time we stopped waiting for an authority figure to drop the gavel and started confronting our own monsters directly.